Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. This is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. And today, we're here to talk about five things that will kill your bling business.
Yeah, and actually, five things that will kill any business. But I've got bling on my mind today and this week because of a vacation story that I'm going to tell you in just a moment. But first, I think we should introduce our quiet guest over in the corner. So we've got a new member of the CAS family here, Maria Rodriguez. Maria, say hi.
Hello, everyone.
Maria is going to add a lot to everything that we do here, so I'm kind of excited to have her listening in. And you are free to pipe in whenever you want to.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be able, so we could do more for the folks that are listening to this.
We're going
to
do a podcast every day now. That's what it is.
Wait a minute. We did that was not part of the discussion.
Okay, it is now. We'll talk about that.
But we are going to do more all across the board, so hopefully that means more videos and more articles and more podcasts.
Yeah, just being more useful to all of you, all of the people in our CAS family out there.
So now we're here today, and you've got bling on your mind, and you're going to make us listen to your vacation.
I am. So I went on, I actually took a Friday and a Monday off this past weekend.
Okay.
And went to Orlando. And if you've never been to Orlando, you should go. And I have to tell, I'm in a hotel by the airport, and there are tons of kids at this hotel. And these kids are not the, hey, I'm going to Disney World this weekend kids. These are parts of the thousands of kids that come to Orlando for regional sports competitions. And they're there for cheerleading competitions and softball and basketball and soccer and lacrosse and for just about everything. And I'm riding in the elevator every day over this four-day holiday. And almost every time I get in, there's some woman in the elevator with bling on because she's supporting her kid that's part of the sports competitions. So, you know, the first time, I mean, great, had her son's name in clear rhinestones on the back of a black shirt. She turned around the front. The kid was into lacrosse. So there was his name on the front and a lacrosse logo in two-color rhinestones. Later on, I see another woman with a completely different shirt on, different sport, I assume a different kid.
Yeah, maybe.
And not only did she have bling on the front, but she had a jacket over it that also had the team logo and rhinestones on it. And that just really made me realize that, I mean, these people are probably from completely different parts of the country. Orlando, people come from all over the place. Different sports, different age kids. And still, they're investing huge amounts of money in basically what is fan apparel for their own family.
Yeah, and it's not inexpensive
right,
to buy rhinestone apparel, especially when you talk about getting into jackets and hoodies and pants. You know, a t-shirt is one thing.
Yeah.
You know, and t-shirts have a little bit of a lower value in what they cost to buy. But when you start getting into these higher end items,
yep,
you know, or these higher ticket items, I should even say, you know, they cost more and they're much more profitable.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting.
And that's really what struck me over the weekend, I guess, is it kind of reaffirmed to me that all the money that you can make in bling and all the different things that you can bling. You know, to just the one lady probably spent $35 on a shirt and maybe $65 on a jacket.
Easily,
she's wearing $100 in bling. It's not $12 t-shirt time anymore. You know, I mean, this is a real profitable business. And you can make a boatload of money in it, and people do if you do it right. And if you avoid the five mistakes that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, before
see, that was a relevant story.
That was good. I've got a story.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Is it my turn for
yeah,
story
go ahead.
Time?
If you've got one.
It actually happened.
You think you can be as entertaining?
This one. I have one, too. And it was good.
Okay.
It was good. I'm not going to say better. Just, I don't want to do that to you.
Okay.
But it was a good story. So one of my friends, I was hanging out with one of my friends, and we were just chatting about what did we do this weekend? I said, oh, I went to here and I did this. I did these chores. And she said, yeah, I had to take my son out and get new shoes, buying shoes. Oh, my gosh. Nikes are so expensive, that whole thing.
Right.
And she's like, but when I was there, I saw a pair of new flip-flops, and they had rhinestones on them, so I had to buy it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I laughed, and I was like, I like that you said that.
Right. That's job security.
Yeah, I was like, that's exactly what I said. I said, that's job security. But then, you know, she kind of went, she's like, no, for real, though. She's like, I was walking by, and I wasn't planning on buying anything. But they caught my attention. They were very cool looking. It's kind of springtime, so I wanted a new pair.
Yep.
And I wanted some sandals, you know, some flip-flops with some rhinestones on it. So she got them. And I just think that they do that. The rhinestones, they do have a particular appeal.
Yeah.
And attention grabbing.
They do. As a matter of fact, Maria is wearing rhinestones right now. Rhinestones right now. So, and we actually have a customer, one of our better customers here locally, that buys very inexpensive flip-flops and sandals, and they apply rhinestones to them, and they sell them in beach resorts.
Yeah.
So you're talking about something that basically starts at Walmart, has about a dollar's worth of rhinestones added to them, and sell for $35, $45 at a resort.
Yeah, I mean, the price increases by 5 times.
Yeah, it's great business.
And it's the work and the learning to do it and the work involved in it and all that is not really that bad compared to a lot of other things you can do.
And there's a lot of ways to do this. What we're going to talk about now, the technology that you use really doesn't matter. You could be using a brush and bake system from Coleman & Company, that uses a cutter and sticky flock, and you actually brush the rhinestones in to create your patterns. You could be using a CAMS machine, two-color rhinestone machines. You could be using a pro spangle to apply spangles to it, which are kind of like sequins without the holes. Or you could be using our new Spangle Elite, which I encourage you to take a look at. But whatever you use, the opportunity is basically the same, and the problems or the reasons that companies fail or might fail doing this are also the same.
Yeah, and they're almost the list only needs to be 5.
Yes.
Because if you get past these 5 things,
you're going to be okay.
Yeah, you are almost like you're almost guaranteed success if you get past these 5 things.
Yeah.
And I just mean from a statistical standpoint, because everyone, you know, most of the businesses that crash and fail are do it for one of these 5 reasons. And then if you fail beyond that,
right.
It's often just circumstances beyond your control.
Yeah.
So that's why these are the 5 things. So let's start with the first one. What's the first one on the list that you've got?
Well, it's first for me, not because in order of importance, because these are all, I think, about equally important. But because I'm a marketing guy and a sales guy, and it's one of my pet peeves, is where are you going to get your customers?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got the, if you're not a member, you should be. On Facebook, you go to the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, and it's where we get a lot of the comments and questions and ideas for the podcast. And one of the things that is asked at least once or twice a month is, how do you guys get new customers? So the first mistake that you can make that could kill your business is you don't know where or how, or you haven't given any thought on how you're going to get customers.
So it doesn't... Well, I think that it can cause stress thinking about that.
Right.
And then what I try to tell folks is to first of all, not stress over thinking about that. Just develop a plan that works for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you like going to events and talking to people? You know, I mean, maybe that's just where you get started. Do you already know internet marketing? Is that part of how you're going to get started? Do you know a lot of people in your community? Are you a member of a club or an organization?
Right.
Just write down some plan. It's not your $1 million, I'm going to make $1 million. It's your plan. It's how am I going to get some customers and get started.
Where do you get customers? So a lot of people, you know, a lot of people that are in our business on the bling side, they start just like those women that I saw in the elevator. So, you know, they've got 2 daughters in cheerleading. They've got somebody in dance. They've got kids who play baseball or football. And they're buying those clothes. You know, they've got a cheer mom shirt. They've got a fan shirt for their daughter's dance school. So maybe that's where you're going to get your first customers. is you go to the school that your daughter dances for, you go to the team that your son plays for, or vice versa. You go to the high school that your kids go to. You go to the church that you attend on Sundays, and you just spread the word. Say, hey, I'm going to do this business, or I am doing this business. I can do all kinds of rhinestone apparel. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll find that oftentimes the company that maybe they're currently buying from, or they wish they could get it and they don't.
Yeah.
Or the company they're buying from, they're maybe not completely satisfied with, and you can come in there and say, "Well, I can do this and make it better."
Yeah, or maybe you just know them.
Yeah,
and maybe they're ordering online for some random person, and now, hey, you know, this is my 7th kid that's in your dance school. I've started a business. What do you think?
Yeah,
you know. That's some loyalty you can.
And there literally might be no question.
Yeah.
If you do it, I'll buy from you.
Right.
How many shirts do you buy a year?
Yeah. So this is the time where you get the pad and paper out. Now this is not going to be a comprehensive podcast on this. We just finished a trilogy, a triptych of podcasts on making more money next month, and you should definitely listen to those. You know, as you're doing your plan. But what I want you to do is I just want you to write down where you're going to get your customers. You know, I think I can get 25 customers a month from my daughter's dance school. I think I can sell shirts to the cheerleaders at my son's high school. You know, whatever those things are, I just want you to write down as many as you can.
And keep it simple. You know, I think I mention it every single podcast is ramp up everything. So in the beginning, take your idea. Where am I going to get your customers? Just write down some ideas.
Yeah.
That's literally whatever it is in your head. If it's very detailed, write it detailed. If it's just at my daughter's dance school, write that down.
Yeah.
And then now you've got somewhere to start. And then if you want to develop more of a plan after that, then you can write that down as well. But start with something.
Agreed. So put something down. Put you know, the church or the school or... You know, hey, I'm a member. I do dog events. I take my dog to dog events. I'm going to sell them there. So write that down and then maybe figure out, say, okay, well, how many people there might buy something from me? And then you start to get some numbers involved too.
Yeah.
So the worst thing that you can do and what's a guaranteed fail is to just buy your equipment, do beautiful designs, make beautiful shirts, and stare at the phone or stare at your computer not understanding or thinking about how someone's going to find you to buy stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number one.
Yeah, so just get started.
Yeah, get started.
How you're going to get customers, and then if you've got a little bit, if you've got a few seeds to plant,
yeah,
you can make something grow. But figure that out a little bit.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
That whole farming analogy.
Yeah,
we should really develop that kind of thing.
Big on farming analogies.
Okay, that's good
to
know.
Let me see if I can get one for each.
Okay.
Or stop me.
What's number two? I'll stop.
Number two. No, it's too late now. You've created a monster, and we're going to talk about cash flow.
Right.
So you've got to be prepared to say, how am I going to pay my bills?
Yeah.
How am I going to keep the lights on? How am I going to make sure that I can run a business and still
live
my life? So it doesn't. So maybe it is that you've got the money and you're prepared to start a business on your own, and maybe it's part time.
Yeah.
But that's all part of the equation of what you're going to do.
Yeah, and it's not just it's cash and cash flow.
Yeah.
So cash is the amount of money in your savings account or whatever it is that you have on hand that you can purchase the equipment that you need, that you can afford to either work part-time, you can afford to pay your electric bill, you can afford to pay your mortgage, you know, for several months while you get this ramped up. Because what a lot of people do is we have a lot of ROI calculations on the Coldesi site, particularly with Spangles. Like the Pro Spangles got some great stuff. You can make a lot of money. You sell X number of shirts and you can pay for all, you know, pay for your machine. Now the thing is you might not be paying for your machine in the first 3 months. You know, so you've got to have enough cash to keep you going for a short period of time.
Yeah, and also not all of the cash needs to be cash in a savings account. Okay, it's there's nothing wrong with using borrowed money for your business.
Right.
Many or most, you know, businesses do start that way.
I started a business once with half a dozen credit cards and those credit card checks you used to get.
Yeah. Yeah, we have customers that start with a credit card. They say,
right,
I just got approved through my bank with this $5,000 line of credit.
Yeah.
And I got a pretty decent interest rate, you know, but I'm investing in my business, and I expect my business to make a whole lot more than the 4% the credit card's going to charge me.
Yes.
So I'm going to use that money. That's part of the equation. There's nothing wrong with maybe using a cash or a lease to buy a machine, and then having a credit card to say, this is what I'm going to invest in some supplies.
Right. So that's really, that's cash. And what we want you to do is we want you to be optimistic, but not dangerously optimistic.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so it does us no good, because I've said it before, you know, probably 30% or more of the machines that we sell every month at Coldesi are to customers that have already bought something from us before.
Yeah.
So we want you to be wildly successful. But that might not happen in the first 90 days. So if you quit your job and buy your equipment and you don't have a plan for where your customers are going to come from, you know, then you could be out of business before you start. We don't want that to happen. That's cash. Cash flow is the payment on that credit card.
Yes.
It's the payment on that loan. And it's being able to manage your cash coming in and going out. So some things to watch out for. And cash flow is notoriously a business killer. So you may have lots of invoices out there and people that owe you money, but not enough to pay the bills that you've got due at the end of the month. So what happens a lot is maybe you grow a little bit too fast. You know, so you're going along and let's say you're a small business, you're making $1,000 a month. And you're managing that cash flow okay. And then a university comes to you and says, look, I need $5,000 worth of jackets. Can you do it by the end of the month? Yes. Can I use a purchase order? You know, of course you can. It's a university. Well, I mean, I don't know if anyone knows this, but the government doesn't pay anything on time.
Yeah.
So maybe 45 or 60 days later, they actually give you a check. Well, do you have the money in the meantime? You have to buy those jackets. You have to buy the rhinestones. You have to pay the rent. You have to keep the lights on. That's all going to take out of your cash. So you've got to manage your expenses and your income and everything that's going on financially.
And then also be prepared that if you do work for somebody, they might not pay you.
Yes.
Okay.
You could get stiffed.
There is a reason why, you know, credit cards require an approval and why cars require an approval and you have to get approved for a home loan. It's because some people, you know, take on a debt and then can't pay it. That debt might be t-shirts. So if you're going to do that purchase order, part of the cash flow is to say, yeah, I'll do the purchase order, understanding that there's a risk involved with that. And you can't let your business be killed from that.
Right.
So that's why we oftentimes, you know, I recommend it. I don't know if everybody recommends it, but I recommend it. When you're a small business, take deposits.
Yeah.
You know, now there will be a time where a university comes and maybe gives you something where you take.
Yeah, we don't do deposit. Yeah,
you know, and you take the risk, or you don't.
Right. Right. What I'll say is, you know, if you can't handle the cash flow issues that come from a big job, just pass.
Yeah.
And that way you'll be in business later and get the same opportunity.
Yeah.
You don't want
to miss an opportunity, which is it's frustrating. However, being out of business is more frustrating than missing an opportunity.
And with big opportunities and big companies and universities and things like that, 99% of the time, they will pay.
Yeah.
So you'll get that money. You just have to make sure you're in business
to cash the check. And if you respectfully decline for a good reason, you also you can also gain respect from somebody from the honesty, and you may get that opportunity again.
That's very true.
So those are a lot of good things to think about with that. But if you're starting this new business, we didn't touch on it exactly, but if you're starting this business and you still need to pay your mortgage and car payment and insurance and all this stuff, then you're probably still working your other job.
Yes.
While this is getting going. Right. You know, so you can work in a plan for over time. Say, once I reach this amount of income, I can quit my job.
Yep.
Or I can go back down to part-time.
Yeah.
So you should write that down too. How much money do you need to live? how much money do you need to quit your job or go part-time?
Yeah, you've got to look the cash issue directly in the face and not take your eye off it. If you're going to be in business for yourself, cash is the most likely thing to kill you, whether it's cash in the bank to manage your expenses or whether it's cash flow and the income and outgo of your business expenses.
Yeah.
Okay, so number three on our list of things that could kill your business, I think it's no marketing. Isn't that what we put down there?
That's not what I put down there.
What did you put down?
I put down inventory.
Inventory.
Number one was marketing.
Yes, okay.
We're not going to edit that out.
No, we're not.
Okay.
We don't edit anything out.
We don't edit this raw.
I guess we always, and honestly, all we really think about is marketing. We just add the other stuff in there to keep you interested in marketing.
Well, I have marketing.
Okay, yeah, there okay, you go. There all you right, go. Fine.
So anyway, I have number one is not marketing or not knowing where you're going to get your customers to. So we did that. Now then we did some cash flow, and then I have inventory, which is my favorite one.
Well, it is because you're the supply guy.
Yes,
you are the supply maven.
Yeah,
and there are myriad. We've actually done entire podcasts just on how you can kill your business not managing your inventory.
Yeah, and I can do 10 more.
Yeah.
So the reason why is because I see it all day, every day. Our issues with inventory. So what does that mean? You know, if you call Coleman and Company and say, Mark, what's the best advice you can give me? I'm getting started. What's new? I'm going to talk about inventory.
Yeah.
So if you want that conversation, pick up the phone and
please
call
do.
Coleman
Let's
Company.
See how many people we can get
because,
to call Mark Vila.
Because that's what I'm going to talk about. Because every day I see somebody order a bag of Crystal SS10 size rhinestones.
Yes.
Overnighted.
Yeah.
The most popular stone in the most popular size ordering a 50 gross bag.
Yeah.
Overnight. Which means the shipment costs three times as much on a product that you, if you have a bling business, you should have that in stock.
All the time.
Okay? But they ordered one bag and they ordered it overnight. But why didn't they order the giant bag?
Right.
Why didn't they?
And normally it's because of cash.
Because of cash.
Because of
so
cash.
So that's, it goes back. Everything goes back.
Yeah.
You know, so because of cash. The cash flow is not managed correctly. So therefore they don't have the proper inventory.
Yeah.
And therefore, they eat up part of their profits in shipping costs.
Yep. So and they have less cash.
And they have less cash, and then you're stressed.
Yeah.
Because just because you order it and you tell the UPS guy to come tomorrow, does not mean that he can or will guarantee.
Right.
It's just not 100% guarantee. Is there a snowstorm?
Yeah.
You know, is there a flood? Did their truck break down?
Did it
get lost?
Yeah.
There's so many things. So your business is riding on this thing, this inventory. So what do? If you're in the bling business, you should never, ever run out of transfer paper.
Well,
number one. Right
so
there.
so let's start with how this happens.
Sure,
normally.
Yeah.
So what happens is you, let's say you know where your customers are coming from and you go do a show and you've got plenty of cash in the bank right now. And what happens is you get that big order. Or you're in the middle of doing that big order, and you realize that you don't have enough or don't have any Crystal SS10 rhinestones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at that moment, when you need it desperately to finish and get money, that you're just going to get charged like crazy for shipping. So you're going to sacrifice profits because you didn't plan that job well enough or you weren't counting your stones. And I know what happens for a lot of our customers, very small customers, is that they just don't think about it. They don't allocate the money in advance. So they'll get money from a customer for a deposit, and they'll use that to order their supplies,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they don't have a handle on the cash flow.
Yeah, and it's good to get that deposit.
Absolutely.
To cover the supplies. However, you would be in a better position if you got the deposit only to cover the supplies, but you already had the money to buy the supplies anyway.
Yeah, you had the supplies on the shelf to do the job.
Yeah, I guess that's what I meant.
Yeah, and especially here's the thing. Rhinestones don't have an expiration date. Transfer tape, which comes in huge rolls, like picture the biggest paper towel roll you have ever seen. Comes in huge, heavy rolls. Those don't have an expiration date. as long as you're keeping them air conditioned, they're going to last longer than you than you'll ever know.
Yeah.
So there's literally no reason not to purchase them and have them on the shelf.
Especially the most popular thing. And I tell folks also that managing rhinestones inventory can be challenging. We sell 30 colors in 7 sizes.
Right.
You do the math across that. That's stones.
Yeah.
Then there's studs.
Yep.
In 7 sizes and 30 colors.
Yeah.
And then there's nail heads. So when you do that, you know, we've got hundreds of things. You don't have to carry that all in your business.
Right.
You know, you carry, but you should maintain a strong inventory on your most popular items. So if you have a school in your area that you do a lot, you know, a university that has certain colors, and you do a lot of work for them, you should have all the sizes in stock in their colors.
Yes.
Because you know you're going to be using that a lot. You should have crystal in that. And then the unique colors, you know, maybe you don't use citrine often.
Right.
Don't stock it. Let us stock it for you. And just set the proper expectation for your inventory
and
for your customers.
And that's really the key. Say, you know, hey, you could even offer, say, look, these are the 7 to 10 colors that I always have on hand. They're our most popular colors. I keep them here, you know, with me because they're great and I use them over and over again. If you want different colors, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I can order them in. The order might take a little bit longer. And honestly, like, I'll have some leftover stones or studs so that I don't use that often. So I'll probably, you know, I'll be charging you just a little bit more because I'm going to end up with 100 citrine stones that I'm not going to need unless you place this order again.
Yeah. And if they want it faster than that, if they say, well, I really would love it by Thursday, then you can say, well, sure, I can do that. What that means is I have to overnight from my warehouse.
Right.
And that's going to cost some money, and I have no problem doing that for you. But you have to understand that there is a surcharge for that.
Yep.
And there's a risk involved in a rush job.
Yeah.
So rush jobs do cost a little bit more because they increase risk, and I don't want you upset. You know, just you have to be very transparent and open about it.
Yeah.
And then if somebody doesn't understand that when you're upfront and open and honest and you explain it that way, then they're going to be unreasonable.
And honestly, it's not like there's a custom bling retail store around every corner. You know, it's not like there's a million places where I can go online and get a one-day turnaround time on some rhinestone shirts with a custom design. So if they're standing in front of you or you know them, they're your customer, they're your new customer, then, you know, you're not competing with somebody in the next strip mall. So you have some flexibility in price.
Now, speaking about price.
Let's speak about price.
We could go right into number 4.
Because that is equally, it's a pet peeve for me too.
Yeah.
Is that small businesses, and for some reason bling and embroidery in particular, undervalue their work tremendously. So we just had an example on the Facebook page. Somebody with a Pro Spangle machine had done like a couple of very nice designs, like 2 or 3 color designs. They looked great. And the question was, well, how much do you charge for that? And the person said $35 a shirt. And there were several incredulous, you know, like, wow, I could never get $35 a shirt, or, you know, $50 a jacket, or whatever it was. And you know, they're just wrong about that. Most people, what they'll do is they'll figure out how much they want to make an hour and how much they need to charge.
Mm-hmm.
Or they will look at, they'll search their area or the internet for the cheapest competition, and then that's what they'll charge. And man, let me tell you, that is a policy that will get you to the poorhouse faster than anything else.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with the figuring out how much you want to make an hour.
Right, policy. That's great, as long as it's a huge number.
Yeah, as long as it's a number that works over with that cash flow problem that we discussed earlier.
Yes.
So you have to pay your bills. You have to be in business. We have a whole podcast talking about numbers and money and keeping and saving money and reinvesting and all that stuff. But with that, with discussing that, if the money you need to earn to do all of that, you do your math. And if it is $150 an hour,
right,
then your bling needs to cost that much. If that's the number, that is the number.
I would say your bling needs to cost at least that much.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Because I take the opposite tack. So I take a look at what is the most expensive version of this out in the marketplace, and that's what I charge. Not the least expensive. And you only know if you're charging too much for a garment when someone says, oh my God, that's way too much. I'm not going to place this order. That's how you know when you've reached the limit of what the market will bear for your products. Because all you're doing otherwise is you're feeling bad about charging someone for your work. Like, you're digitizing a design, that takes time and skill and effort. You had to buy that equipment. You had to search for it. You're taking a risk. You found the customer. All those things are kind of intangibles that have to go into the value of the product. So don't undercharge for what you do. You should be uncomfortable with the amount of money that you're asking people for. I think that's kind of the push. If you go into a store and you go into a retail outlet and you look at a rhinestone jacket and they're charging $85 because it's a branded rhinestone jacket, maybe you're not going to charge $85. But you're using great quality rhinestones. You're using just as many stones. You're creating an original design specifically for a person with their name on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Think about, that's worth $65. You know, it may not have a brand name on it. It's worth $55. But even though it might cost you $10 to buy the jacket and $1.85 in spangles and 40 cents in transfer tape, and after you did the design, which took you 25 minutes, it only takes you a few minutes to do the heat pressing, that's not the value of the product. The value of the product is, you know, what that customer gets. And it's worth more that's in your head right now, I guarantee it.
Well, what
was that, a soapbox? Did I should I get down now?
Yeah, well,
I felt like I went off a little bit.
Yeah, rinse off.
Yeah. Let me cool off a little bit.
But what I was thinking about when you had said that was you go into that retail store and what's gonna feel better, you know? Oh wow, look at this jacket. This is a nice jacket. It's similar in quality to what I would sell, you know. Oh, and I use about the same amount of rhinestones. But if they would have bought it from me, it would have been half the price. Okay? There's that feeling.
Yeah.
Then there's, what if you turned around and you said, I do a better job than what this brand did. It looks better. And my quality of the jacket that I buy is just the same for the same money. For the same money, if they would have bought it from me, it would have been better.
Absolutely.
What feels better? To know that for the equal value, you know, you're putting out a better product than this name brand for the same price, rather than why would you feel good to say, well, I did something better for half the price. The logic doesn't work. Why would you do something better
for half the price? Do it better for the same price, and it's still a great price.
Yeah. Yeah, and so maybe it does have to be less expensive.
Right.
You know, maybe you are in a boutique shop that sells really high-end stuff, and they've got a specific clientele that maybe you're not reaching.
So I've got another vacation story.
Sure.
So we went to Florida Mall because I have daughters and a wife, and that's what we do on vacation is we shop. I don't know why. That's what happens. So we went into this one store in the Florida Mall called Desigual. It is a designer store. It's very small, so you know things are expensive.
Yeah.
They had a little girl's denim jacket, like a Levi's style jacket, that was decorated, blinged out beautifully, right? You know, it had rhinestones on it, and then it had regular sequin heart. And sequins are the ones that are sewn onto a garment as opposed to spangles, which are heat pressed onto a garment. So what happened was I looked at this garment, and it was $65. Small little girl's jacket. And I just ran my hand the wrong direction on the sequins, and half of them flipped over. Terrible workmanship.
Yeah.
Right? Would never happen with spangles. $65. The store was packed. You know, so there you've got something. It's just the brand name. And I know that my customers out there can produce a better quality product and deserve to make that kind of money on it.
Yeah. And another thing is that if you're trying to be the best price, then you're going to have to, everything that you're going to do below that is going to have to fit too, which means that you're going to have to buy the cheapest shirt you can buy, which is not going to be comfortable, and it's going to shrink, and it's going to be fibrous, and things are not going to, cheaper shirts don't decorate as well as nicer shirts, generally speaking.
Agreed.
They're more fibrous, they're less dense in the fabric, there's less consistency, the
structure's off.
The structure's off, the dye is not as good, there's all these things, all these things. So you're going to have a harder time to decorate it, it's going to be more work. You might have rhinestones that fall off because the shirt is such a poor quality. The shirt literally falls apart.
Yep.
You know, you can pick off, you know, you can grab your fingernail and pull off fabric.
Yeah.
So all of that's going to come together to produce this quality, this product that, are you really going to be that proud of it?
Yeah.
Compared to a shirt that costs twice as much, which means like
$5. $2.50.
Yeah. So a $5 shirt is going to be a nice wholesale shirt that's going to look good.
Yeah.
And then you're going to put a nice dense rhinestone design on it because you're not trying to shave off 14 cents in
rhinestones.
By
using plastic or
or using acrylic stones or just reducing the density so you can save 18 stones and save a couple pennies.
Right.
You know, you're not doing all that. You're making a nice, dense design. It looks great. It feels great. You are proud to sell it. Then we get it all into the marketing chain of it where you're going to get the referral because it's nice.
And and that's
pictures.
A $25 or $35 shirt.
It is. Yeah.
And you know how much the supplies cost to make that shirt? It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's the
answer.
It doesn't
matter.
It doesn't matter because if you're in the bling business, rhinestones are freaking cheap. Spangles are basically free. Transfer tape is going to cost you maybe 30 or 40 cents a design max. It's not relevant to your business as long as you're charging a great price.
If you could charge the right price and you're making a good quality product, then the cost of your supplies starts to become null.
Yeah.
Our customers that do the best, what they do is they call up and they're like, I'm ready for another order. Boom, they fill up the cart.
Yeah.
I got to re-up all my inventory. It doesn't matter if it's ink or rhinestones or thread or anything like that. They are re-upping. I'm low on inventory. It's time to re-up.
Yeah.
Here's my $800, $700, $400, $200. Doesn't matter. You know,
it's not worth it to them to maybe lose a customer or make a customer wait because they don't have it in stock.
Yeah. Versus trying to save $5 here and there and really fighting for that because you're undervaluing it so much.
Yeah, and that goes to I know we've got a podcast in there somewhere about stop wasting marketing dollars and stop wasting time. And, you know, it'll make a difference in your life if you fix those first four things that we've talked about so far. Now for number five, this one was yours.
Okay.
And that is over-promising. And I know that I've seen businesses go under for that as well. So why don't you tell us what the big deal is behind over-promising?
Sure. Well, maybe you could just tell it with just a simple story. This did not happen to me on vacation.
Sure.
Okay?
If you say so.
This is not my vacation, but, you know, a fictional story of a business owner who has somebody come in and say, I really need these shirts by Monday. Can you do it?
Yeah.
Right? And it is not, so you think to yourself, okay, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I've got 4 days.
Yep.
You know? But then you don't have the rhinestones in stock, and you don't have the shirts in stock, and you haven't even gotten the sizes from them.
Yep.
And you're not even sure what shirt you're going to order. So there's a lot going on.
Right.
And you're expecting a massive, massive thunderstorm this weekend. You know, there's just all these things coming into play, but you want the business. You're hungry for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I absolutely will get those to you by Monday. And you say, all right, I'm pretty sure I can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And then it's now what?
Yeah, and then now you are stressed the entire time. Your power is going out while you're trying to produce this stuff. You can't get the things in time. And then you end up not being able to be delivered.
Yep.
And you have an upset customer.
You lose a customer. You get a bad review.
Bad review.
You get bad word of mouth. And, you know, so let's list the things that could go wrong with overpromising. This was on the Facebook group the other day. You get the wrong blanks.
Sure.
So your great quality clothing supplier, wholesaler, just happens to send you the wrong shipment or somebody else's shipment. Or they're out of stock. So you don't get the blanks in time and you're done at that point. You look at your inventory and they need rose-colored rhinestones in SS16 for the design that you're going to do. And you call Coleman & Company and it's going to be $50 to get in there for Saturday delivery. And then you find out that your house or your business is not eligible for Saturday delivery, you know, which not all areas are. What else? Your kid gets the flu,
mm-hmm.
and you can't go into work if you're not working at home. One of your employees quits. You ruin the first three shirts because your heat press was set to 5,000 degrees. Your software messes up. Your computer goes down. You lose internet for the weekend. I mean, you know, these are things that hardly ever happen. But you know when they will happen? When you promise somebody you're going to have something done by Monday, and you don't have everything in stock that you need to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, you just put yourself in a high risk situation when there's not any wiggle room.
Yeah,
that's really I think what it is. So all of these little things probably won't happen, you know, in the scheme of things. You know, they will happen at some point in time.
Right.
But if a customer says I need this by Monday, and you know. It's a risk to get it done.
Yeah.
You know, you have to say, can I get these by Monday? Yes. But everything has to line up.
Yeah.
So, there's a thunderstorm this weekend. If the power goes out all day Saturday,
I won't be able to do it. Right.
Okay, I have to overnight these, all of this stuff, to get it here tomorrow. So I'm going to have to charge a fee for that if the UPS guy doesn't show up. You know, I can't control everything.
Yeah.
However, if everything goes according to plan, I'll absolutely do it for you. But if it doesn't, because we're working on a rush schedule, and I generally don't even do rush jobs, but I want to take care of you, is Tuesday or Wednesday going to be fine?
Right.
You know, we're going to plan for Monday, and we're going to push for Monday. But is that, and set fine, you know, that's part of it. Or we have some customers that just don't accept rush jobs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plenty of them that don't.
Yeah,
they just
too
say,
much stress.
I won't do it.
I'm a part timer. Me and my kids are not going to do this on Friday night. We got a baseball game.
Yeah,
you know, and that's okay too. Just don't overpromise.
Yeah, exactly. And if you feel that it's reasonable to get a job done in 4 days, maybe 4 days is the number for your business, then you're better off giving your customer an expectation of 5.
Yeah.
And delivering on the fourth.
I mean, one of my favorite phrases, and it's beating up too much, is under-promise and over-deliver.
Yeah.
Think about if somebody says, you know, hey, can you absolutely have this done by Wednesday of next week? And you say, you know, if everything lines up correctly, then yes. And then you deliver it on Monday or Tuesday. How does that change the customer's attitude towards you and your company?
Yeah.
Say, wow, I wasn't even expecting it. It's early. It looks great. You know, and honestly, it's a safety valve, too, because it also gives you the opportunity, you know, for them to say, oh, you know what? This looks really good, but I wasn't expecting it to be so small. Or we had three other people join the crews. We've got five more people coming to the family reunion. Can you do those? Yeah. And then you go into, you know what? That's a rush job because now I have to do it in a day. Here's what has to happen. You know, for us to do that, so, you know, you create a much better environment by under-promising and over-delivering.
Yeah, and most, you're going to lose a lot less sales than you think if you have a set time and you add 1 day to it.
Yeah.
There's going to be very few sales you're going to lose because of that 1 day.
Yeah.
So if your time is 4 days and that's your regular, but sometimes you're late, just change it to 5.
Yes.
And just see how it makes almost no impact.
Yeah.
On a negative impact. But what you will get is every time you deliver early, you're going to say, you're going to get that as part of the review. XYZ company did great work. And
yep.
They even finished earlier than they promised me.
Yeah.
That is like a sweet little, it's like you've iced every cake when you do that. So
yep.
I think it's important, and you're already going to have enough stress in your owning a business.
Yeah.
So don't add more by overpromising. It's not the reason you started the business is because it's fun or you want to have control over things or it's interesting, and the minute you're overstressed because of it, it's no longer fun. And
yep.
It's no longer interesting, and you're no longer in control.
Right.
You've given up the control to your customer.
Yeah, so I think it's important to, set the expectations. Don't be afraid to say no if you think you're going to ruin a potential customer and come back to them later. And make sure that they understand what's involved in getting a rush order done. I think those were five good things that we talked about.
Yeah, so a fast recap. You're not marketing, or you don't know where you're going to get your customers
yes.
from. Have some sort of a plan, even if it's simple. Get started with an idea. Two is having cash or cash flow, and that might mean credit cards
yeah.
and loans.
And paying ridiculously close attention to that.
Yes. Then keeping an inventory. And just
Please.
Be smart about it. Don't
Please.
Run out of the basics.
Yeah.
Don't run out of oil for your machine. Don't run out of transfer paper. Don't run out of the basics ever. Run out of them.
That will eat into number two. That'll eat
yep.
into your cash.
Exactly. And then not charging enough.
Yeah.
Make sure you just charge the right value. And just because somebody in Miami charges one price, it might be different in New York, and it might be different in the city that nobody's heard of in Montana.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's going to be different. However, it's not always more or less because of the it's not always logical. We have
yeah.
customers in these middle of nowhere cities that charge way more than someone on Miami Beach.
Yes.
You know, and vice versa.
And because they ask.
They ask, and because of the market they're in. You
yeah.
know, figure that out. And if you can charge more if it's great.
Don't be embarrassed to ask for more.
Yeah. And then the last one is just not overpromising.
Yeah.
Don't try to deliver too fast. Don't tell somebody you guarantee them to do something if you've never tested it before. I think we have a whole podcast on testing.
Yes, we do.
We
do testing, test everything, test.
Yeah, so you know, if somebody asks you, say, "Hey, can you do it on this particular beanie cap?"
Yeah.
And you know, the answer, don't make the answer yes if you don't know it's yes.
Yeah.
More than likely, I don't think that's going to be a problem, but I got to look into it.
I like all that. I think we've given people, it seems like every time we record one of these podcasts, there's a lot for our customers to do. We're basically giving them homework.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of every podcast. So that's I want you to do this homework though. I want you to take a look at where you're going to get your customers. I want you to pay attention to your cash flow. You know, I want you to, take a look at everything that we've talked about here tonight and pay close attention because we want you to be successful. We want you to stay in business. We want you to grow your business. We want you to buy lots of stuff from us. That's the goal behind all of this.
Yes.
Really.
If
honestly,
you're making a lot of money, then you're buying a lot of stuff from us, and we're in business, and you're in business, and we're partners, and
yep.
we're friends, and we're all doing well.
Yeah.
We're all doing better than our competition. Let's work together and do it.
Yep.
I'm motivated right now after this.
I am too. I'm excited. I'm going to go find some cash.
Yeah, really?
That's what I'm going to do right now.
It's either this podcast or that third cup of coffee, but I feel I'm racing inside.
Okay, that's good. All right, so I think that's it. Make sure if you are not a member that you join the Custom Apparel Startups community on Facebook. That's a Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. Make sure that you are subscribed to CASpodcast.com on iTunes. You can send us emails to host@CASpodcast.com. Buy stuff from Coleman Company. Look at machines from Cold SE. And share this with people that you know that are in business. I think that's probably the most important thing that you can do, because honestly, we want them to be successful too.
Yeah, and the subtitle, the title is Five Things That'll Kill Your Bling Business, and the subtitle is Or Any Business.
Or Any Business, that's very true.
Yeah.
Okay, so this has been Mark Stevenson from Cold SE.
And Mark Vila from Coleman & Company.
And Maria from
yeah.
Cold SE and Coleman & Company.
Yeah, special guests.
That's true.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, there you go. So you guys just have a good business. Woo!